I think the mix of Cosmo reflects the Cosmo woman, which is that you're not one-dimensional, right? It's like, obviously, Cosmo covers are iconic and sex and relationship content is our core, and we care very much about that. But our reader also cares about serious stories and health and fashion and beauty and all that stuff.
That was Michelle Promoleko. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. Fueled by strength training, coffee, Madonna, and her love of magazines, today's guest, Michelle Promoleko, helms the iconic and largest women's media brand, Cosmopolitan, as editor-in-chief. She is also the editorial director of Hearst's Young Women's Group, which includes 17 and Women's Health. Michelle is a highly respected and renowned print and digital editor, innovator, and thought leader, and has a long-standing career in the world of media, from her first internship to her current job. We have been in the same circles working parallel almost our entire careers, but we really didn't meet until a few years ago when I convinced her to take a running class. And the rest is history. On today's episode, we sync up about Michelle's career trajectory and doing what she loves, the current climate and evolution of the media industry, Cosmopolitan's exciting October issue, and of course, we duke it out for the number one Madonna fan status. I hope you enjoy the episode. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. Also, follow Marnie on the Move on Instagram or Facebook and sign up for our newsletter on our website, marnieonthemove.com, to be the first to know about our upcoming events, partner deals, and giveaways. And, of course, pick up a copy of Cosmo and Women's Health October issue. Check out their digital content, and you can find Michelle at Mish Prom on Instagram and Snapchat. Enjoy. Today's episode is fueled by partner company for which I am the co-founder, full disclosure, Fit Plus Love. Fit Plus Love is a digital and real-time fitness and wellness lifestyle and entertainment company fueling consumers with sports, fitness, and wellness content through events and digital media. From our signature Marnie on the Move podcast, our online articles at Momentum, and upcoming festivals, summits, and pop-ups. It is our mission to bring you everything awesome and next level from the worlds of sports, fitness, and wellness. Head over to our website at fitpluslove.com, sign up for our newsletter, and stay dialed in. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Thanks for letting me take over your Cosmo office today, Michelle.
You're so welcome. It's cool. You have your whole setup that you bring with you. I mean, I don't know how your back's doing carrying all this equipment.
It's actually really light.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Wow. I put it in my Dagny Dover.
I love Dagny Dover.
That I got at your event.
At my event. It's the best. I can't tell you how many compliments I've gotten on the Dagny Dover backpack.
Yeah.
It is the coolest. It's so great. And they were so generous. And everybody loves it.
So after I was wearing it, one of my friends at the gym went and bought it.
Yeah.
And she works in media.
I know. We have to tell those stories so that companies know when they
give
us things for events
products
that it actually has an effect on their sales.
A lot of people actually, our daughter wanted one. And
cool.
Yes. And speaking of Cosmo and the business of magazines, where did your career begin in the media industry?
So it started, when I was in college, I studied journalism and I did a bunch of internships at magazines. So when I was at Rutgers in New Jersey, I was able to take the train right into New York City. And that was one of the benefits and do a bunch of internships. So I interned at a magazine called McCall's, which doesn't exist anymore. You're going to hear that a few times in this conversation.
No, it's funny because I remember McCall's.
Yeah. I interned in the fashion department at Harper's Bazaar, which was very chic. And I interned at a teen magazine called Sassy, which was Jane Pratt's teen magazine before she did Jane. So that was very cool. So it was a sort of a broad spectrum of magazines and kind of confirmed my love of magazines. I had been a voracious reader. I was terrible at math. That's partly how I chose. This is how I chose my major. I hate math and I like magazines. I don't know. Journalism sounds like a good major, right?
Totally.
So I did that. And then my first job was at a teen magazine called YM, another defunct teen magazine. But at the time, obviously very robust. And to me, in a weird way, it's sort of the kind of the original sort of Cosmo-esque teen magazine, because it was a lot about relationships and, you know, there was a bit of boy craziness to it in a way that Sassy wasn't. Sassy was a little edgier, it had more music, it was just a little more political. So in a weird way, I think YM was the fledgling Cosmo before there was ever a Cosmo girl.
YM was kind of when I started. That's when I was just out of Parsons and a friend of mine worked there. And I had just started as a freelance stylist. So I wasn't working at a magazine, but I was doing freelance styling for shoots.
Cool. And I didn't know you ever did that.
Yeah, no. It was a long time ago. It was pre-workout days.
Yeah.
It was before I started my PR and marketing company. So yeah, so I remember YM. And I remember also at the same time, Teen People.
Teen People came later because I went from YM to Teen People. So a bunch of us who had been at YM actually were the founding editors of Teen People. So at the time, the editor-in-chief, Christina Ferrari, and a bunch of us, the entertainment editor, the managing editor, the fashion director, me, a bunch of people who worked at YM, went to Teen People, went to Time Inc. to start Teen People, which was exciting because it was a startup and it was building off of, you know, a very strong brand, People.
Right.
And it just crushed all kinds of records. It was a very different kind of teen magazine. It was sort of dual gender, won a big award, launched a website simultaneously. So it was very progressive in that way.
Yeah.
And I was working with a bunch of people that I knew and loved, and I did that for a couple of years, and then I actually came to Cosmo for my first tour of duty.
Okay.
So that was like 2000.
Uh-huh.
And came to Cosmo, and you know what? That was it was a tough decision to make, actually, for all the reasons I just mentioned. I was working at this great and lauded teen magazine with a bunch of my friends and colleagues that I loved and adored and felt comfortable with, and I got this call to potentially come to Cosmo. And I went through the motions. I went through the interviews and took the edit test, one of the things that you have to do to get a job in editorial, which is the bane of everyone's existence. Because it's like
I don't even, what is it?
It's basically what it sounds like. It's a test, and it tests some of the skills of the job that you're interviewing for. But it's like having a second job because you're doing your job.
Right.
And then on like at night, on the weekends, you're doing the edit test, depending on how long they give you. So I went through all those motions and I ended up getting an offer and knew that I had to take it. It was an elevation. It was more money. But I had to leave, you know, sort of my family of friends to do it. But it ended up, I think, you know, being probably one of the best decisions I ever made just because it gave me the historical knowledge to eventually come back. So I took the job at Cosmo, and at the time it was a deputy job. And then within a year, I was elevated to executive editor, which is the number two spot. And that was a huge job. I was still pretty young. It was probably premature in terms of where you should be at that age, but I had a wonderful boss in Kate White, who was the editor of Cosmo.
Yeah,
she was the editor of Cosmo for 14 years. There's only been, I'm the fifth ever editor of Cosmo.
And
so it was Helen, Helen Gurley Brown, famously, who was the original editor who transitioned Cosmo from a literary magazine essentially into the modern day Cosmo. And she helmed it for 32 years. And then there was one editor after her for 1 year, Bonnie Fuller, who was actually the first person who ever hired me. She was the editor in chief of YM at the time that I was hired. Then Kate for 14. Then Joanna Cole for four, and then I've been here for two.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I luckily had a champion in Kate who didn't really care so much about age and cared more about your skills, ability, connectedness to the content, work ethic, all those things. So became the executive editor and then stayed in that spot for probably another 7 years because it was a big job. And we did tons of amazing things at that time. Not only worked on, I probably worked on, I don't know, 50 plus Cosmo covers with her and managed staff and hired and unfortunately fired. And, you know, just did all the things and extended the brand and launched a website and launched a book line with other people, obviously.
Right.
But was there for all of that
and
helmed a 13th edition that we did back then called Cosmo Style and Beauty. So that sort of became my own little baby. And from there, I went to Women's Health and became an editor-in-chief.
Which is what I remember.
Yeah. So we didn't connect when I was at Women's Health. Mm-mm. That's kind of odd.
I know, because I've worked in fitness and wellness. I don't think I was working with any fitness or wellness
That makes sense.
Clients at that time. I was doing more fashion and beauty. And I did work with fashion editors at Women's Health. But we finally met a while back when you were at Yahoo Health.
Yeah, I think that's when we met.
And I coerced you or convinced you or some form of persuasive negotiation got you to come to one of my client studios and do a running class with our friend Matt Wilpers.
Yes. Well, you know, I heard he was a phenomenal running coach and nobody's ever gotten me to run. And it's one of those things that I always felt like I was supposed to do. I should want to do it. I was in health and wellness and but didn't stick. I hate to tell you, Marnie, it didn't stick.
I know. It's not for everyone. I feel like, you know,
I detest it.
Yeah.
I detested it then. I just thought, you know what? I'm going to try it. And if anybody can get me to do it, it'll be Matt. And you were really generous and connected us. And I felt like I learned a lot from that session because he, you know, told me sort of about the body mechanics. And I get now why it feels so labor intensive and there's ways to make it feel less so.
Right.
But it's just not my thing.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something, that's a lesson that I've kind of learned from yoga. Like, you can try something and it's not for you. And you just learn something new about yourself and that's a positive. So that was why I think all good things come from running, whether you like running or not.
Well, people are passionate about it. I mean, I know plenty of people who are passionate runners and I sort of envy them because you can do it anywhere. No matter where you are in the world, you can do it. You don't need equipment. It's such great thinking time. It's obviously, you know, calorie burner, bone density builder. But yeah, it's painful for me. I don't know. I feel like there's something, anatomical, whether it's about your lung capacity or your muscle mass or something. I don't know. I feel like I'm not built to run.
That might be true about running, but you are certainly built to run Cosmo.
Well, I feel like being the executive editor of Cosmo was amazing training ground to become an editor in chief because I was afforded a lot of responsibility. And because Cosmo is such a big and robust brand, there was a lot to do. And so I got a ton of experience. And as daunting and scary as it is to kind of make that leap to the number one spot, I felt pretty well prepared for it. And I was going into an arena that I had a lot of passion for and a brand that was new and kind of in an evolution. Right. It had been really kind of a vertical health and wellness magazine with black and white covers and had great content, but the company really wanted to grow the audience and transition it into more of a lifestyle magazine that still had health, wellness, nutrition, all of that fitness at its core.
Right.
And so for me, it was the perfect marriage of things and the perfect mix of content for my background and my personal passions. So I went there and stayed there for 6 years and had a great time. I actually took the job in 2009 when the economic sky was falling.
Right.
So that was scary.
Yes.
And through, I don't know, a convergence of things, great team, great brand, luck, who knows, the magazine thrived and, you know, won awards and really usurped the other magazines in its category. And yeah, so it was a great experience. And when I left there to go to Yahoo Health, that was another tough decision. And I think the theme that's cropping up is it's really hard to leave. It's almost like leaving before you're ready. It's almost the right thing to do. To leave before the malaise sets in, before you become bored at your job, before, you know, all of that stuff, which is hard to do because you have to move out of your comfort zone and you have to, in my case, leave behind a team you built yourself because at that time, almost everybody after 6 years had been people I had chosen, maybe save for one or two. And yeah, so I left to go to Yahoo Health because I really felt that it was important to start acquiring more digital skills. The digital team at womenshealthmag.com reported to me at the time, but I wasn't in the throes of the day-to-day content production and felt like I needed to be more intimately connected to how that process worked.
So do you feel like that happened when you went over to digital?
Oh yeah, because it was exclusively digital. So, right. And Yahoo was in the process of hiring a bunch of quote unquote sort of veteran editors in their field, including Joe Z. Mm-hmm. So Joe was doing style and my now very close friend Carrie Diamond was doing food and mm-hmm. I did health and Katie Kirk was doing some of the news stuff and Bobby Brown, who's now another close friend, did beauty. So right. They were attracting a lot of interesting talent. And I just thought, you know what? I've got to make this leap. And it was pretty uncomfortable because it was a new initiative for them. And it was a completely different world. I mean, I went from having maybe 50 people report to me in a nice corner office to right. working in the open floor plan that is digital and having like 4 people report to me.
Right.
So it was very different. And there was a lot of sort of, you know, there's a big learning curve and some growing pains, but was ultimately another really good decision because I learned so much and got to do cool things like right. be in, you know, editing bays and do voiceovers and work on the insane train of daily content production.
And so as an editor-in-chief at a print magazine, I mean, how is that different?
It is very different because when you're in digital and you're in a daily content production mm-hmm. mode, you're very connected to news and what's happening. And you want to be in the conversation that's happening right there that second.
Right.
And the challenge, of course, is always finding, putting it through your brand's lens. So whether you're Yahoo Health or Cosmo or whoever, you have to take what's happening in the zeitgeist, decide whether there's something there for you or not, mm-hmm. or whether there's something there for you to put through your specific lens and then put out to the world in a different way than it's been being talked mm-hmm. about. And so it was kind of a different idea generation process and mm-hmm. also obviously speed at which you produce content.
Right.
At a print magazine, you can't be hooked to the news necessarily. You want right. to be relevant and timely and all of that. And you mm-hmm. want to be modern and having, you know, conversations that are relevant, but you have to think months in advance because that's how print magazines or monthly print magazines right. are made. But you get a chance to expand on an idea. You get right. a chance to kind of explore aspects of something that maybe was talked about for a blip, but now you get to do a deeper dive and you get right. to art it in a more lush, thought through way. Mm-hmm. So there are advantages and disadvantages to both sides.
So now how far out are you working right now?
Couple months. It's like right now we're working on December.
Yeah. So you're working, you probably wrapped up your holiday gift guide in July.
Wrapping it up now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I never know what day it is or what month it is because I feel like, you know,
well, because monthly magazines, yeah. the December issue hits in early November because to your point,
yeah.
if the gift guides are in the December issue, then you right. need to get it in November so you have time to buy unless right. you're one of those people like me who's like shopping on Christmas Eve.
But, yeah, that would be me.
but yeah, so, I mean, it was a hugely valuable experience, albeit a kind of hectic one. And then ultimately, Yahoo decided to make a pivot, sell the company, kind of shut down some of those new initiatives in preparation for selling the company, which they eventually did. They sold to Verizon. And so I had the first break that I've had in over 20 years, which was kind of nice. At the time, it was a little like, because I had never not had a place to go to every right. single day. You know, right. I had from the moment I graduated college, you know, sort of got right into work world and never stopped. It, again, was a gift. And I don't know, I think that's sort of the theme of, you know, discomfort and uncertainty and all of those things. Sure, there are pain points, but ultimately they can produce really good things. In this right. case, produced a break that I kind of didn't know I needed.
Right.
Took a break, traveled for, you know, a month to Asia, thought about moving to LA very seriously. That thought crossed my mind again this past winter when it just never seemed to end.
I've been saying that for 10 years that
yeah,
I'm moving to LA. I'm like, I'm going to Airbnb.
I'm going to get there eventually.
It's, yeah.
But then Cosmo came up and right. it is obviously a brand that I have historical, you know, knowledge of and history with and so much affection for, and mm-hmm. it's iconic. And as I said before, I'm the 5th person to hold this job. So I just, and the, you know, venerable editors who held it before me or, you know, people that I respect, And so I just felt like it was an opportunity that I couldn't pass by,
right,
despite it being in, you know, miserable, wintry New York. But I love New York. So, yeah, so I came here, and it's a very different place and time in the industry than it was when I left Cosmo.
Yeah, talk to me about the media industry climate and how you feel things are evolving and changing, and then maybe related to your new position at Cosmo.
It's a very, to be perfectly candid, a really hectic and transitional period for media. You know, we are dealing with fragmented audiences. We're all spending more and more time, more and more of our leisure time, more and more of our time period on social networks, me included. And the audience has more places to go to get content. I mean, every brand's a content producer now too.
Yeah.
So it used to be just, you know, we were producing content no matter where that content lived. And now lots of places are producing content. And when I started in magazines, things like Netflix didn't exist. So when you think about just even going to Netflix is overwhelming, because you have the paradox of choice of what am I going to even watch? Because there's so much content.
There's just so much out there.
So there's that. I mean, Cosmo has amazing brand equity. Everybody around the world knows what it is.
Yeah.
And we live in every single place that our potential readers and young women are, including all of those social networks that I just talked about. But yeah, I mean, it's a crazy time.
Yeah.
I mean that's there's one other way to put it. And actually, the fact that my company, Hearst, acquired my old company, Rodale, which is how I became the editorial director of Women's Health.
Right.
Just goes to show there's a consolidation and change happening, that, you know, a company like Rodale ultimately that produced a lot of amazing magazines decided to sell to a behemoth like Hearst because they just couldn't compete necessarily in the same environment anymore. So I'm really glad that those brands came to Hearst. It's the best possible home, I think, for those brands.
Yeah.
And in doing that, I got Women's Health back under my purview in a different capacity as editorial director. So two boomerangs happened, the Cosmo boomerang and the Women's Health boomerang. And so I'm fortunate in that I've gotten to sort of revisit the content and another brand that I love. So two brands that I love, I've had, you know, two shots at, which
and
is
you're also
nice.
Editorial director of 17.
Exactly. And I never worked for 17 before. So that's not one of the boomerangs, but I did work at YM and Teen People. So I sort
natural.
Of feel like I revisited the teen market.
I mean, from where I'm sitting as a consumer and somebody who works in the media industry on the other side, I would say Hearst seems to be the most innovative, forward-thinking, and smart in terms of their acquisitions and merging the print and digital and bringing you on board at Cosmo.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that last part.
So,
Hearst is more than a media company. It is a diversified company. And I think that's one of its strengths. And, you know, it's had some really amazing leaders and great brands and, you know, built this amazing tower that we're sitting in right now.
So talk to me about the October issue, because there are some seriously fun stories and serious stories.
Yeah, some fun stories and some serious stories, which is, you know, the mix of Cosmo. And I think the mix of Cosmo reflects the Cosmo woman, which is that you're not one dimensional, right? It's like, obviously Cosmo covers are iconic and sex and relationship content is our core and we care very much about that.
Right.
But our reader also cares about serious stories and health and fashion and beauty and all that stuff. So in October, so we have Christina Aguilera on the cover.
Right. Who looks amazing.
Looking amazing.
The cover is great.
And she's fierce and gave a very candid interview just about a lot of different things. You have to pick up the magazine to read that. But she was very unvarnished in her answers and interviews. And you don't always get that, right? Sometimes celebrities are very guarded, and she was really just honest. So we have Christina, and then we have, on the more serious side, we have the third installment of a series that we've done on gun violence. And the one in the October issue is about coercive control. And essentially what it is, it's a little known form of domestic abuse, which is when a domestic partner uses a firearm as a tool of coercion, meaning they threaten with it, they wave it around, they pull it out at certain times, but they don't use it, they don't fire it. It hopefully never rises to that, but just the, influence of it in the home and being brought out at these critical moments, whether it's an argument or just flashing it on their belt or whatever, is traumatizing and disables women from, you know, say leaving or saying what they want to say in an argument and all these kinds of things, and creates a sort of post-traumatic stress disorder condition. And it's just not talked about. So we expose this course of control epidemic, really.
How did you discover it?
We discovered it through, we have a partnership for these pieces, for the second two pieces and the third of the three piece installment with The Trace, which is a publication that it's a bipartisan publication on the gun industry, actually. And they told us about it. They told us about the problem because they hear about it and this is their terrain. They cover it all the time. Mm-hmm. And we just thought, wow. And then when we started putting our reporters on it and digging deeper into it and talking to women who have faced this, we realized the scope of the problem was massive.
Right.
So there's that. And then moving away from the serious stuff again.
I like that though.
Yeah, no, it's important.
It's an important piece. You captivate your readers through the fun and sexy.
Yeah.
But then you can also, once you have them listening, you can bring this serious stuff onto their radar.
Absolutely. But back to the fun stuff.
Yes, tell me about the fun stuff.
Well, you know, we have a lot of our, you know, sort of our sex and relationship stuff, and we have a big gyno Q&A, and that's the cover line, When Your Vagina Acts Weird.
Yes.
Answers to super intimate questions, which everybody needs to know, and Cosmo's the place to go, because these are things you can't ask just anybody.
It's so great that, you know, you're able, the magazine has completely evolved with women today.
Yeah.
You know, this is stuff we would have never talked about 20 years ago, but now it's like everybody... I don't know if everybody
Talks
about it.
Well, not everybody. I mean, that's the thing. Cosmo sort of has a specific and special position in that we have a really candid dialogue with readers, and we say things that maybe some other publications are afraid to say or whatever, shy to say. We have another piece called Orgasm Anxiety, which is, it's a serious piece in that it's about what holds women back from experiencing, you know, ultimate pleasure. And it's a bunch of different things. It's kind of usually what's in their head. Sometimes it's a physical thing, but it's usually what's going on in their head, whether it be questioning the way their body looks or something about their body that they don't like. A broad spectrum of things. And of course, there's fun fashion and beauty and other things as well. And horoscopes, because you always have to have your horoscope.
Yeah. Who does your horoscopes?
Aurora Tower.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're so fun. I mean, the Cosmo horoscopes are legendary. So,
what sign are you?
Aries.
Uh-huh.
Probably could have guessed.
No, I might have said Leo.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about all the signs. Uh-huh. I just know that I seem like a prototypical Aries based on what, you know, the Aries traits are.
Interesting. Interesting. You've come a long way from your first internship, and now you're editor-in-chief of Cosmopolitan Magazine, editorial director of 17, and Women's Health. What fuels you for success? What kind of workouts or meditation or wellness keep you focused and moving?
Well, I am trained in transcendental meditation, but I have to say I've been kind of bad about practicing lately. Mm-hmm. But I was just in Spain for 10 days at the very end of the summer. And I just like decided when I was there, I'm like, I've got to just get back into the regular schedule, because I know how critical TM is to my life. When I'm doing it, it just helps my sleep. It helps my stress level. It just does all these amazing great things. So I'm going to get back to that. I have vowed to myself. But the thing that I do most consistently is strength train. So lift weights. I'm not, as we spoke about earlier, a runner. And, you know, my loathing of running really just has to do with my loathing of cardio, period.
Right.
And, you know, we need cardio for cardiovascular health and fat burning and all that kind of stuff. But if you lift weights properly, you can get some of that same benefit. So I've always liked weight training. I feel like I know it does amazing things for the body, right? It increases bone density. Obviously, lean muscle mass burns, you know, more calories even at rest. It makes you look more toned and dense and all of that. But it's just what I enjoy the most.
Yeah. I mean, has it been a long time that you've been?
Yeah, I've been doing, it's been, you know, decades probably that I've been doing it. And I mean, I supplement that. Like I'll take a SoulCycle class or I'll take my friend Lori Cole, who's a SoulCycle instructor. one of the first does this other class called The Link. She was doing it out in the Hamptons this year, which is foam rolling and rebounding and, you know, a bunch of different disciplines. So I'll take a class like that. Mm-hmm. There's another workout called Refine, which is mostly strength training, but there's some cardio bursts in there. Like, if I'm going to do cardio, I can only do it in a short burst.
Right.
Which is sort of, you know, steady state cardio.
Really,
yeah, steady state cardio versus interval training, essentially. Yeah. We all know the arguments.
I mean, I kind of feel like when you're lifting weights, your heart rate's probably in a zone two.
Yeah, it's in a zone. It should be at least in a zone that is beneficial to your vascular system.
Yeah.
So, and we all know nutrition is a huge component of health. Mm-hmm. Everything from your genes size in terms of how you feel and what you can fit into, and your brain health. So.
When you were at Women's Health, were there any like really crazy classes that you took besides running that you were just like, oh my God,
Yeah, because I got to sort of take everything and I still sort of get to take everything if I want. It's just more about time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there was like, I don't know, there was a time there were all those aerialist sort of things where you were like hanging from bands and canopies and whatnot. And it just way too complicated for me personally. Yeah, I do actually. I want to back up to the rebounding though, because I really do like rebounding. I love the mini trampoline.
What is rebounding?
It's exactly that. It's a mini trampoline.
Okay.
Bellicon is a great brand, and it's been studied and supposed to be as beneficial as running. Marnie, I hate to tell you this, but
I'm going
to
try it. It's just like bounce off.
It's And the thing is, taking classes because they exist is tough. Only in that it is sort of a little bit challenging to get used to it. And if you have an instructor who's moving too quickly, I find that can be really jarring and hard to do. But you can stream class if you own one. You can stream classes. And it's really, it's challenging. It's not like you think, oh my God, you're getting assistance from this, you know.
The trampoline.
But yeah, you do. Do you have
to be coordinated?
A little bit. You know, you don't want to fly off the thing. That could be dangerous. Yeah. You have to be a little coordinated, but that's what it helps. It helps coordination. Right. It helps balance. It helps all these things. It burns calories and it's really easy on your joints. But you can definitely get a cardio workout. So I have one of those at my weekend place. So I use that. I have a little gym in the ground floor and that has like my rebounder, my TRX, which I also love. TRX is cool for those listening who don't know, which is a suspension training system. So there are these cables and they're adjustable and you can pack it up, put it in your suitcase. It's mobile, but you can do a surprising number of exercises.
Yeah.
You can work your whole body out. And actually there are places that have classes. There's this boutique fitness studio called Black Sheep Studio where my beach house is, and they have TRX classes. So I'll take classes. And in taking the classes, you learn new moves and then you can use those, you know, for your home system. So those are sort of the supplemental things I do. Weight training's the thing I do consistently. And then I'll do, you know, maybe some Soul Cycle or maybe some rebounding, maybe some TRX, never any running.
Since we're talking about strength training and you are the editor-in-chief of Cosmo, we need to bring up Madonna. Because I know that we both have a mutual love for Madonna because I follow you on Instagram.
We can duke it out for number one fan. There's a few other people in the office who claim to have that title as well. Yeah, I'm a huge Madonna fan. I've been going to her. I mean, I grew up with her, you know, I was in high school in the 80s, and I have never missed a concert since the early 80s.
Okay.
So I've attended every single, I mean, usually once. I'm not like that person who goes five nights in a row. I don't have time for that. But usually I go see her once, whether it's at Madison Square Garden or I've gone to see her in Atlantic City a few times and other places. But I've never missed a concert since I became aware of her as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her, but I have so much admiration for her drive and her longevity and her adaptability. I mean, she's sort of like the brand of Madonna. There's a consistency there, but she's also changed and morphed and evolved. And
sort of like Cosmo.
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of have to stay relevant while still sort of being true to your DNA, right? Like she's also a super creative person. So she's, you know, tried all these different things, but there came a time where she got really into health and fitness and still is and just got like super jacked and lean. And I feel like she was one of my inspirations. The other person that was very inspirational in sort of the weight training, that kind of body type, was Linda Hamilton in like Terminator.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was Terminator 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 100. But I remember looking at Linda Hamilton and being like, I want arms like that. Yeah. And I still don't have those arms.
Right.
But it was like motivating to me to sort of see that femininity mixed with that kind of visual strength,
right,
which is obviously functional too, because if you're strong like that, you know, you can kick robots' asses and like dance on it and get shit done and dance on a stage as Madonna does for many, many hours at her age. So I think it's cool that someone like Madonna has lasted this long in her industry and also just, wow, really like kept the vitality of somebody much younger than she is, which I completely get. And that's what health and fitness does for you, right? Keeps you young.
She's one of my role models too, for the same reasons. So what are your top five favorite Madonna songs?
It's so hard because it sort of, I think it kind of depends on what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And it sort of depends on where you were in your life when like certain albums came out. But I mean, I do love Holiday, mm-hmm, because it's so upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first songs of hers I ever heard. It was probably on her first album. And it's usually what she closes her concerts with. You know, it's like a very celebratory song. But I mean, I love so many. I love Deeper and Deeper. I love Nothing Really Matters.
Mm-hmm.
I love The Power of Goodbye. I like some of the newer stuff. I mean, even some of the Rebel Heart stuff.
Yeah.
But so it's like, I like some of the newer stuff or the middle range stuff. Like Ray of Light was a great album.
Yeah, that was
so many songs.
Albums.
Oh, she looked so beautiful during that time. She still looks amazing, but there was like this etherealness to her at that time that I really like was into that stage of Madonna. But it's the old stuff that has the most nostalgia.
Yeah. Totally. So now she's been on Cosmo cover.
Yeah, she was on Cosmo before I started.
Yes.
I was pretty jealous of people who got to be on set with her, although I think she might be one of those people I never want to meet.
Yeah.
Because I've met a lot of celebrities and some disappoint and some surprise in good ways and some are just the way you think they're going to be. And I just don't want anything bad to happen.
You just want to keep your image of her.
So for that reason, I'm probably never going to be on another Cosmo cover. I don't know.
No, don't say that. Do you follow her on Instagram?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
She's not doing anything crazy right now.
Well, it was funny. The night before the election, the presidential election,
yes,
she did this like pop-up concert at Washington Square
Were
Park.
You there?
Yeah. Yeah. Were you?
No, I didn't know about it.
See, I'm the number one fan.
I found out about it while it was too late for me.
Well, like one of my best guy friends, John, is also a big fan of hers, and John actually works here with me at Cosmo and has worked for every single Cosmo editor, including Helen Gurley Brown. And so when I came back, I mean, he always jokes, he, you know, knows more. He's a gay man and he knows more about like vaginas and like sex, female driven like sex tips than any gay man should know. But he's also a big Madonna fan and we've gone to many concerts together. So he actually, that night that Madonna posted on her Instagram, I'll be at Washington Square Park in like an hour, he like called me. I think I was at my apartment and he was like he was out and about in the city. And I think I had like changed into like my sweats and was all ready to just hunker down. He's like, get dressed and meet me downstairs. So I like pulled on some jeans, met him downstairs. We like ran down to Washington Square Park and saw her perform the night before the presidential election. Yeah, it was cool. It was just such a very New York moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just such an impromptu thing.
Yeah.
Few other places that you could like hop in a cab and get somewhere that
really
quickly.
Yeah.
And that she has so much passion for New York. Actually, what's that song where she sings about New York? I Love New York. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it is.
But I like that song because, you know, she says things like, Texas isn't that where they golf. And then she says a bunch of other things, but I love New York. So she's so passionate about New York. And yeah, and so she was doing this concert to try to rally people around Hillary. Unfortunately, that didn't really work.
I know.
But it was a cool Madonna / New York moment.
Yes.
So I was happy to be there.
Awesome. Last thing, coffee.
Oh.
So I follow you.
Yes.
You're drinking it right now.
I'm drinking it right now.
So every time you post something about coffee, I feel your vibe. So are you just like coffee? Are you a coffee addict?
I am a coffee addict. I don't drink it all day, every day,
but I
need it in the morning. And I'm one of those people that goes to bed dreaming about my morning coffee.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I do post a lot of those like funny Instagram quote tiles about coffee, like no coffee, no worky, or it's like, I forget, there was another one I posted that was something like about decaf coffee. There's only two places for it, somewhere and in the trash. Like, it was like, you know, whatever coffee meme I come across, I usually post because, yeah, I like it. It's like one of those, I wouldn't even call it a vice because there are health benefits to it.
Right.
But obviously, it's not good to be addicted. I do get a headache if I don't drink it just because of the caffeine and the way it interacts with the vascular system. So that's not great. But you know what? There are worse
There's
habits.
There's worse things. I mean, honestly.
There are worse habits. If coffee's going to give me pleasure,
coffee's
by the way,
good for you.
In Cosmo world, we don't believe in guilty pleasures. Yeah. Like, you know, pleasure is not a guilty thing. So yes, I am a coffee fan.
A coffee fan.
A coffee fan.
So do you make your own coffee or do
I do both. I do make my own. For some reason, I feel like it never tastes as good as it does when I get it somewhere.
Where do you like to get coffee?
Usually I go to Citizens of Chelsea, which is right across the street from where I live. Mm-hmm. Or I'll go to La Colombe, which is like 11th and 27th, or to like downstairs in the Turnstile, which is like this little
down
shops
here.
And restaurants around Columbus Circle under where the subway is on my way into work. And I usually do like two cups a day. So I'll do like one on my way to the gym and one on the way to work. And that's kind of it. I try not to drink it later in the day.
Yeah.
I used to be that person that could like drink an espresso and go to sleep. I'm kind of not that person anymore.
I'm that person.
Yeah.
I don't think the caffeine really affects me. I feel like it's just the ritual.
It's like it affects me if I don't have it, but I don't feel like in terms of, like I said, the headache or whatever, but I don't feel like a buzz or an energy boost necessarily, but the ritual is probably more the thing.
Yeah. You should try cordyceps if you're looking for that energy boost.
Oh.
Mushrooms.
Yes, I know. Cordyceps. They don't taste as good.
No, but you can put them in your coffee.
Yes.
It's double whammy.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to talk about really quickly is I love your Instagram.
Oh, like, thank
it's
you.
It's so awesome.
I'm sort of Instagram exclusive. I really feel like that's the platform I enjoy most.
Mm-hmm.
And stories made it even more fun because you can put your day on there, put special things on there that you wouldn't necessarily put in your dedicated feed.
Right.
So I love it. And you can find me at Mish Prom.
You have your own website also.
Yeah, that's like a little bit more like my professional experience.
Okay.
But
Got
like
it.
My whole life is Mish Prom, MICHPROM, first four letters of my first and last name because my last name's so long.
Yes.
That it's really difficult to use it. It's like 11 letters, Promaleco. So Mish Prom. And my friends have now taken to calling me Mish Prom.
Mish Prom. That's kind of cool. I like
Isn't
that.
Isn't it funny?
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you on Instagram. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Head over to our website, marnieonthemove.com, and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, and more. Also, sign up for our newsletter. Just scroll down to the bottom of the site, to the bottom of the website, and hit sign up because we are gearing up for some really big, exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in.